This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We're back with hour number two of Ron Segi Today, live all across the USA and around the world. Well, sad news coming from Hollywood this past Wednesday with the death of Raquel Welch. Boy, I got to tell you something. What a beautiful woman. She had been sick for a little while, we understand. 82 years old. But boy, she really did a number on the big screen. Beautiful actress, beautiful lady. On our show this hour, presidential historian Doris Kearns Goodwin with a book called Leadership in Turbulent Times. Monday is President's Day, so we thought it'd be appropriate to have Doris here. Also from the McGuire Car Care Products, my dear friend Barry McGuire with a book called Ignite Your Life. And in our lifestyle segment, Grace Gold talking about laser surgery and Heart Month of February with Dr. William Cooper. And that's all coming up this hour with Ron Segi Today.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airlines. Travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands. Guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-511-6046. 800-511-6046. 800-511-6046. That's 800-511-6046.
We are back with Ron Segi Today, and since Monday is President's Day, we thought we'd invite one of our premier presidential historians to the show, and she's going to talk about her new book that she has out right now. We thought we'd call in our next guest talking about how presidents handle things in turbulent times. As she has written several books, seven in fact, is the one I have in my hand called Leadership in Turbulent Times. She is the renowned premier presidential historian and Pulitzer Prize winning author. Joining us right now is Doris Kearns Goodwin. Doris, welcome to the show. At last we get a chance.
Thank you.
Again.
Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's been a pleasure. And I got to tell you something. I went through this book like a surgical knife through butter. And as I mentioned to you before we went on the air, I have a replica of the Oval Office in my home and just acquired the Resolute Desk. So you can see how kind of a fanatic I am.
That is pretty incredible. Wow. I've got to see that someday.
I would love to have you over to break bread, sit in that office, and talk to you. But let's talk about
this
book.
It's a deal.
I had to put down the President's Club to start reading this, okay? This book is put into four themes, okay, before public life, life crisis, life in the White House, and then the review of how the presidents that you discuss in this book handled the crisis. But why these presidents at this time, and the presidents, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about is T.R., Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln, and Lyndon Johnson.
Well, these were the four presidents that over five decades of studying the presidency that I felt I knew the best. So it may seem strange that Lyndon Johnson was in the other three, but I thought if I focused on domestic politics that he absolutely deserved to be. And what happened is when I finished Teddy and Taft, and I was trying to figure out, okay, which president do I do now? And each time I would move from one to the other, I would feel like I was leaving an old boyfriend behind. I'd feel guilty because I'd have to move that guy's books out, bring the next guy in. So I thought, well, what if I just look at my four guys again that I knew the best and contrast their strengths, look at their weaknesses, see what family resemblance of traits there were, and talk about leadership, which is what I've been interested in since I was a grad student at Harvard. And it turned out to be a great project. And Turbulent Times was chosen as the title because it was the turbulent times they each one lived in. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have predicted that it would be so relevant as it is when it finally came out.
Well, isn't that the truth? Now, as you alluded to, you have written books about all four men, and basically this is centering on how they handled crisis. Now, you have two Republicans and you have two Democrats, and you say that Abe was, of course, a big crisis, the threat of democracy, and that, of course, was huge. T.R. settled the coal strike. You have Franklin Roosevelt, who was involved with the coming out of the Depression and going into World War II, and, of course, LBJ, who is referred to as a prairie dog lawyer, but he turns around and he does a great job in the domestic front, but a terrible job on the international front. So these are the big items of each of those individuals, right, Doris?
Correct. And, you know, the thing you said at the beginning is true, too, that in the early part of the book, I start off when they're just running for office for the first time, in part because I want to show their vulnerabilities and their mistakes and the arrogance and how they learn as they grow older, because I think young people thinking about leadership on the presidential level, they'll think, oh, these people are in Mount Rushmore. They, you know, how can I identify with that? That's what a college student had said to me one time. So that's the early part. And then each one of them goes through a very personal crisis that I think once you've gone through something really difficult, Lincoln had a near suicidal depression,
mm-hmm.
and he came out of it only because he said, you know, I haven't done anything yet to make any human being remember that I've lived. He'd had such a terribly terrible early life. FDR had, of course, the polio attack that left him a much more empathetic man. Teddy lost his wife and his mother on the same day in the same house, went to the Badlands, and that experience made him a Westerner as well as an Easterner. And LBJ had a massive heart attack in his 40s and comes out of it saying, if I died now, what would I be remembered for? And then they get thrown on the stage where a huge crisis is going to be involving them. But they've been through something before. They've seen resilience. They've known as long as they can learn from it, they're going to be able, hopefully, to have the confidence to get through the next phase.
But I found interesting, though, all four men, although later, and of course Monday morning quarterback is one thing, but later in life we realized that they all had, as you said, fragile beginnings. I mean, Lincoln certainly had his problems dismissing the major hurdles, but he had his own personal problems. Roosevelt, T.R., here's a man that was a tough guy. I mean, he was shot and went on with a speech. I mean, you talk about a guy that was
right.
a tough cookie. There's no doubt about that. In the case of Franklin Roosevelt, his own partners in his law firm were not impressed by him. And certainly LBJ always had that, and you would know this better than anybody, always had that complex of not being, you know, from a Harvard or Yale. He was from a, you know, a teacher's college in Texas. So they didn't really come out of the chute looking like they're going to do what they did, but then developed into it.
I think that's really important for people to understand. I mean, even as you suggest with FDR, when he was 28, he was not considered, you know, a very good student at any of the schools he'd been in. He wasn't even being a good partner or young intern in the law firm where he was. And then they come into him and ask, would you like to run for a Democratic seat in Dutchess County? And he immediately says yes. And once he gets on the campaign trail, he knows this is what he wants to be. One of the things that combines all of them, at some point, there's a voice within, this philosopher William James said, that tells you, this is what I want to be. And then you somehow kick into motion, into gear. But even then, he wasn't a great speaker at first. You know, Eleanor said that she was there at the time, that he would somehow pause so long between sentences, FDR did in that first run, that you thought he was never going to go on. But then after a while, when he got more confident, you thought he'd never go off the stage.
Mm-hmm.
But you watch them when they're still developing. And I think it just gives people an idea, not just as political leaders, but as leaders in any field, as long as there's the humility to understand where you've gone wrong and acknowledge your errors and grow, you can become a much better leader than you were at the start.
I think one of the problems, and this is just my personal opinion, with the leadership today is no one reads about the leadership of yesterday. And I think that's where a problem, you know, my mantra has always been, you can't figure out things today or tomorrow if you're not knowing what happened yesterday, because it kind of repeats itself in some way, shape, or form. You know, the other thing...
You're speaking something that matters so much to me. I mean, I think that's really right, that what's interesting about these four guys is that Lyndon Johnson's hero was Franklin Roosevelt.
Right.
And he really had met him when he was young, but he had read about what he'd done. He knew about it. And then Franklin's hero was Teddy Roosevelt.
Right.
Teddy read about Abraham Lincoln during this whole summer of this coal strike. He read the 7 or 8 volumes that Nicolay and Hay, and he got solace from knowing the difficulties Lincoln had been through. And then Lincoln's hero was George Washington.
Right.
So they all knew about the persons before, and history is such an important way for you. Don't start these things alone. People have been through these things before, and you can learn from them.
Absolutely, and I think that's what's missing in politics today. You know, and TR and LBJ came into this office of presidency actually the same way. I mean, they were vice presidents when the president was assassinated. But for some reason, and maybe it's because of the media today, for some reason I seem to think, after reading the book, that the LBJ way that he got in was more shocking to the nation than Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I mean, obviously, McKinley was assassinated, as was John Kennedy. But I think the difference is that with John Kennedy, the people watched in real time the murder of John Kennedy and the murder of Lee Harvey Oswald. It was part of that saturation of the difference in television versus hearing that McKinley had been assassinated and then he didn't die right away. But I think there's no question that the country was convulsed by that change with JFK. And LBJ's great benefit was that he was able to go up to that Congress and talk about healing and talk about civil rights as the way, the first priority, which was a hugely risky thing for him to do, because that was the bill that was stuck in the Congress when John Kennedy was killed. And he deserves, before the Vietnam War took over, enormous credit for having brought Republicans and Democrats together for all that 89th Congress. It was incredible what they did, aid to education, Medicare, Medicaid, you know, aid to the cities, voting rights, civil rights. It changed the foundation of modern America. And part of it was that after JFK was killed, and there was a sense of hate having been part of that, people wanted to come together in order to show that we weren't that kind of a country, where you could have, you know, what Oswald did and what people's reaction to it was.
Doris, we're going to pause for a second, take a quick break. We'll be right back with our very special guest, Doris Kearns Goodwin. As I mentioned in the introduction, the premier presidential historian. She has written books about several U.S. presidents, and in this latest effort, she has combined four of those presidents, Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, and LBJ, in a book that is entitled Leadership in Turbulent Times. And Doris Kearns Goodwin and I will return with another segment live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Segee today.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Young, Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
At St. Jude, researchers are working around the clock to find new ways to combat the deadliest childhood cancers. This is a St. Jude moment.
My name is Joel, and I was diagnosed with osteosarcoma, which is bone cancer, and I came to St. Jude as a 7-year-old because doctors had discovered a tumor in my right shoulder. St. Jude was amazing early on. You know, even as a 7-year-old, they found a way to explain it to me, to have other people talk to me. That by the time I walked out of here 7 months after the amputation, I was fully adjusted using my left arm, you know, so I could jump right back into school and have no qualms or no worries about that at all. So I'm lucky enough to be married to Lindsay, who is also another former St. Jude patient who I actually met at a St. Jude event. She was in the middle of her treatment. I had finished mine just a couple of years before and just told her I loved her. Luckily, she reciprocated, told me the same thing back, and we were fortunate enough to get married on the St. Jude campus.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
We're back with Ron Sedgy today in another segment with the premier presidential historian, Doris Kearns Goodwin. Her new book is out right now, Leadership in Turbulent Times. And say something that I find extremely interesting. You say that Teddy Roosevelt, I keep on saying TR because Nixon used to use that rendition of reference to him. He would handle today's media better than the other three gentlemen.
Yeah, I think if we needed somebody to come back today, Teddy knew what it was like to be the center of attention. He was the bride at the wedding and the baby at the baptism and the corpse at the funeral. So he could capture everybody. He has a pithy statements that could be on Twitter, speak softly and carry a big stick. You know, don't hit until you have to and then hit hard. He even gave Maxwell House the slogan, go to the very last drop. But more importantly, he understood that the country was divided during the Industrial Revolution, that workers were feeling cut off from the capitalists, that people in the country were feeling cut off from people in the city, and that they were blaming immigrants. And he was able to talk about a square deal for the rich and the poor, the capitalist and the wage worker. And he did it with fire and with cartoon quality. I mean, media would lap him up today, but he'd be fighting for a broader cause. And I think that's what would make him probably the best of the four for today's world.
And don't forget the teddy bear.
And don't forget the that's how popular he was.
Yeah.
He goes on a hunt. They make him try and kill a bear because he hadn't gotten a bear, and he refuses to. And suddenly the bear becomes a cartoon, littler and little bear, and Teddy's saying no. And teddy bear becomes the most popular toy in American history.
Isn't that something? All people at some point or another needs to feel loved. These four gentlemen needed to feel loved. I do think that Franklin Roosevelt and Lyndon Johnson probably had that feeling more so than the first two presidents.
I think that's right. I mean, I think that certainly Lyndon Johnson did.
Yes.
In the end, it comes from a lack of confidence. You know, that I think he had had parents, Lyndon Johnson did. His mother adored him when he was little, but then when he didn't do well in school, she seemed to break away from him. So he thought that the way to get people's love was to do something, to accomplish something. And that's an endless trait. I mean, you can never succeed enough if that's what you're basing people's feelings of love for you on. FDR had a certain kind of internal confidence from the time he was young, but he really had a charming desire whenever he met somebody to make that person like him. And sometimes he would even agree with them when he didn't really agree at all, to not have contention in the meeting. I never thought about what you said, but I think that's right. I think Lincoln and Teddy were less probably than FDR and LBJ in terms of needing that manifestation of having won somebody over when they meet them.
And I think from a standpoint of economics, Abraham Lincoln and LBJ, they were both prairie dog lawyers and really made money later on in life, although I don't think Lincoln was ever really that big. But there was a great deal of money made by Lyndon Johnson through a lot of broadcast holdings and some questionable investments over the years. Those two probably in the beginning were most alike. I've always been fascinated, not only how you became interested in presidential history, how you became so close to Lyndon Johnson. I could go on for days about that. You're only 24 years old, student at Harvard, and you were selected to join the Fellows of the White House. And here you are in a dance floor in the White House, and you had been very vocal about the removal of LBJ from office with an article in the New Republic. You were against the Vietnam War, yet Lyndon Johnson picks you out of a crowd and says, I want that girl to be in the White House because I can win her over. If anybody can, I can. What went through your mind when you heard that?
No, I mean, you told the story exactly right. I mean, I had written this article before the dance in the White House to celebrate my having become a White House fellow with the other fellow 16 of us, but it came out in the New Republic after the dance. And once it said how to remove Lyndon Johnson in 1968, I was sure that was the end of my White House fellowship. But he did say, as you suggest, bring her down here for a year. And I never fully understood, you know, why he had done that. I mean, I think it was partly because I loved listening to him, and I ended up going to the ranch and helping him on his memoirs. He told great stories, many of which weren't true, but they were great nonetheless. It was partly because I was young, partly maybe because I was a woman, so he might not have thought of me as judgmental as I might have been, but he knew I was going to become an historian, so that mattered to him, that it was the Harvards of the world that would be getting to know him. But it was the most extraordinary experience that I probably ever had. It's what made me a presidential historian. My PhD was in Supreme Court history, so I would have been studying people in their robes rather than these presidential characters. So I'm really grateful that I had that experience, and I took it for granted when I was young. Now I keep thinking, oh, all these things I wished I'd asked him, because I was there day after day after day in the ranch. I got to know him really well, and he was so sad in those last years that he wanted to talk about the times that were good. So we would talk about the New Deal times, we'd talk about the civil rights stuff, and that's what I was working on in the memoirs, was the civil rights chapters and his relationship with Congress. We had split up the memoirs, so it may be that that's why he wanted me to be there. It wasn't talking about Vietnam all the time.
Very unusual individual, no doubt about it, warts and all. In fact, I remember Jack Valenti's book.
Oh, Jack Valenti, of course.
Jack Valenti's book was fascinating because he says, you know, the guy did things in public he wouldn't do in private.
And No, exactly. He was a colorful character, the most interesting political figure I think I've ever met. Real force.
Was it difficult to stave off his advances? Because you've talked about that candidly.
Well, the thing that was interesting was that I was always talking to him about steady boyfriends, even when I didn't have them at all, because I knew he had a minor league womanizing reputation.
Mm-hmm.
But everything was working perfectly until one day he said he wanted to discuss our relationship, which sounded ominous when he took me to the lake, conveniently called Lake LBJ, wine, cheese, red check table, all the romantic trappings, and he sorted out Doris more than any other woman I've ever known, and my heart sank. I thought, oh, my God. And then he said, you remind me of my mother.
Oh.
It was pretty embarrassing. So who knows what that meant. But, no, I mean, luckily, he had wanted me to go down there and work full time. And I knew how powerful he was, and that if I left Harvard and went there full time, that then I wouldn't have the power to withstand him, not just sexually, but just as a person,
sure,
really.
Sure.
So I said I'd like to work part time, and I'll come down on Christmas vacations and summers from teaching at Harvard. And at first he said, no, it's all or nothing. And I thought that was it. And then the last day he was in the presidency, he called me and said, all right, part-time. And I think that's what gave me the strength, because I knew I'd be going back, that I was coming and going and not in his presence the full time. Turned out, thank God I did it. It would have been an enormous loss.
Yes, it would have.
I hadn't gotten to know him, because it helped every other book that I've ever written to be empathetic about these other people as I learned to be about him.
All four presidents died. Do you agree they died with the attitude that they unfinished their biggest challenge?
Oh, without a question. I mean, Lincoln knew that Reconstruction was the biggest challenge that had to be faced, and he was just beginning to face it. I mean, Teddy Roosevelt died hoping that he would get into the presidency again in 1920, because there were things left unfinished.
Right.
And FDR knew that the most important thing was what to do after the war for the peace, and LBJ, of course, knew there was more to do on civil rights. So, yes, absolutely.
This is a must-read. It's called Leadership in Turbulent Times, done by the best, Doris Kearns Goodwin. Doris, can I tell you that this has been a very big honor for me, and I hope that one day you can come back and even more importantly visit me in Orlando and see my Oval Office.
I would love to. It is a promise on my part, and if it's a deal on yours, it's made.
It's made. Great. And thank you for doing this.
I loved it. There's not even a question. It was great.
Okay. Thank you, Doris, and we'll look forward to having you back, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Doris Kearns Goodwin has been our guest, presidential historian. And there's more to come with Ron Segi today.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water,
and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
USA News Update. Former President Jimmy Carter will begin receiving hospice care at home. The Carter Center said in a statement that he will no longer seek additional medical intervention with full support from his family and medical team. Former President Trump is heading to Ohio.
In a posting to his social media site, Truth Social, former President Trump said he's going to make a trip to East Palestine, Ohio next week. It's the site of a train derailment that led to a massive fire and evacuations of the town. Trump said he's making the trip because the residents of East Palestine are great people who need help now.
The U.S. response to a recent Chinese surveillance balloon is being called hysterical. That's according to top Chinese diplomat Wang Yi at the annual Munich Security Conference. He reiterated that the balloon that was shot down was an unmanned civilian airship that had blown off course, and the belief that the craft was made for surveillance was absurd. Dave Collins, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Longevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Longevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
And we are back live all across the USA and around the world. You're listening to Ron Segee today. The reason I'm playing that song, The Great Jim Reeves, is because that is one of our guest's favorite songs. And I've known this man for almost 30 years. He is not only one of the most successful businessmen throughout the country, but he's also one of the most decent gentlemen I have ever met. We have a lot of things in common because we're both car crazy. Joining us right now, the president of McGuire's Car Care, but also the president of Ignite America with a brand new book, Ignite Your Life, my dear friend, Barry McGuire. Hi, Barry. How you doing?
Ron Segee, my hero, my mentor, my dear friend.
It's been too long. Man, it's so good to hear your voice. And we've done this a number of times, but not now, not for a long time. So I'm so excited. I get to do interviews, but being back with Ron Segee, okay, I'm good now. I'm good.
I remember the first one we did almost 30 years ago. You were in our office, and then I had to go to see one of the last concerts of Frank Sinatra in Daytona. And you said, well, let's go to dinner. And I'm thinking to myself, dinner with Barry? Frank Sinatra. So we did both. I went to dinner with you, and I went to dinner. I love this book, Barry, and I meant what I said. Ladies and gentlemen, this man is so successful, and rightfully so. He deserves all the success that he has ascertained over the years. He is the third generation of the McGuire Car Care products, and of course, they have the best car care products in the world. I know that firsthand. But this book, Ignite Your Life, why now? And the format is outstanding.
Oh, yeah, you just made my day. It's okay. Been nice talking to you, Ron.
Nice
to meet you.
Tell Barry I said hello. Nice to have you here.
Well, you know, the world's going crazy, right? We have an Oxford scholar that follows all the stats. And do you know, in America, I think it's 83% of all Americans are living in fear today. In America, that's Christians, non-Christians, Jewish, whatever, 83% of Americans are living in fear. And of course, I'm a person of faith, you're a person of faith, but if you have fear, you don't have faith. If you don't have faith now, you're in big trouble, because God actually says that you could pray and I'll give you whatever you want, but don't waver. If you waver, you're double-minded in all your ways and don't expect to receive anything from me. So a lot of people are praying. I think most of America is praying right now, realizing things are bad. But they're not hearing answers for it because they're not praying in faith. My book is talking about how do you defeat fear with effortless faith. And that's a big subject for today, and it's very timely. And I've been wanting to write this book for a long time, and then this last year, I felt compelled. You know, I've been a businessman. I love cars. I love good food, as you know. But there's also this sense of this is temporary. There is an eternity coming that's forever. And probably when I get there, it's not going to matter how many bottles of car wax I've sold, and I've sold a couple. Our relationship with God is the most important thing, and the way I look at it, very simply, no matter who's listening to us, they can understand this. The further away we get away from God as an individual or as a country, the more chaos and divisions and crime and all the bad stuff happens. The closer you get to God, the more peace and joy and happiness and unity you have. So problems today have nothing to do with race. They have nothing to do with politics. Most individuals, we've turned our backs on God, thinking we're smarter than he is, trying to do our way, and it puts us in this whole world of fear. Now everybody's lashing out at everybody, and I look at people that are doing heinous things. I remember when the riots were going on, Ron, and one particular time, a guy was standing on top of a police car that was on fire, and he had his hands up, and he was so jubilant, like, yes, so happy to be there, that, take that, you know, and I was so mad at him, and if you didn't know God loved you, you could be doing the very same thing he is. Not that we have a lot of bad people in America, we have a lot of lost people that are trying to find out what's right and trying to do what's right, but they're listening to all their wrong voices, and most of them have nothing to do with the simplicity of the scriptures. God loves you. I don't care who you are, and I don't care what you've done. God loves you, and his one desire for you is to spend eternity with him. That's for every one of us. That's for you. And when you know that and you understand that, it ignites your life, and that's the story of my book, and the book is entitled, of course, as you already mentioned, Ignite Your Life. It does. It makes every day a fun day in spite of the chaos, and you and I have talked about this for years, but now I put it in a book so other people can read it and kind of understand what God is all about.
I think the problem in conveying that message is that people don't see the wind, but they feel the wind. You don't see, but you feel it. And this book really touches on that. And I tell you what I really like about this. A lot of times, successful business people, are equated with practices that maybe aren't always right way, because, you know, it's tough to be in any business. It's very difficult to convey to somebody that you can be an honest, successful person, whether it's in business, whatever the case may be, and still be a person of faith. This is why this book is so important, because you told us it doesn't make any difference what you have in life. You've gotten it because of perseverance, hard work, and the belief that you have to be nice to other people, or else it ain't going to work.
I was on a plane the other day, and this young lady, very attractive lady, sat next to me. I pulled out a Bible, and she said, "Oh, are you a pastor?" "No, I peddle car wax." "What's the Bible for?" "Well, I honor God, but I need His strength and guidance to sell my car wax." And she says, "Well, I don't have much to do with God." I said, "Well, why not?" She says, "Well, He's not very happy with me right now." And I said, "Why would you say that? That's not true." She said, "Oh, no, I'm in a relationship with another girl, and I know He's not happy with me." I turned to her, I said, "Oh, you have it so wrong." She says, "What?" I said, "You have it so wrong. God loves you." "No, no, no. He couldn't possibly love me." "Oh, yeah. He loves you." "No, I tell you, He loves you. In fact, He loves you as much as He's ever loved anybody." She said, "Really?" I said, "Yes. That doesn't mean He's condoning what you're doing. He loves you in spite of it." She said, "I need to make a change, but I don't know how to do it." I said, "The person you're with, He loves her too. Both of you." As we were landing, I was praying with her. I didn't get her into full relationship with God, but now I have her understanding, oh, God loves me. That changed her life, and it changed my life.
I hope before you left, you sold her some vinyl top cleaner, though, Barry.
So now that didn't enter my mind. I got to tell you, I get big orders from Walmart, whatever, you know, 20 truckloads of car wax. Wow! But nothing compares with allowing somebody to understand that God loves them. Ron, you and I both know, if we'd all start doing that, I don't care how hard a heart you have, how where you are in political politics or whatever.
You and I have had this chat many times. You've had challenges at McGuire's, and you are always positive when these challenges come up. And I mean major challenges. People always think when they see somebody successful that they get up every morning with no problems, and all they do is count their money. That is not the case. How do you apply that to your own career?
What a great question. Because, you know, a lot of people say, "Well, sure, Barry's laughing and happy. Look what he's got, a business, got a beautiful wife and
right.
cars. Why would he not be happy?" They have no idea what I've been through. They don't know that I was in the hospital in 2010 dying. The doctors gave up on me and that I never lost my joy. They don't know that my 49-year-old daughter died 4 years ago. Unexpectedly, who has loved God, suddenly she's gone, and I'm speaking to a funeral of 1,000 people, and that video is on YouTube, Ron, and 11,000 people have watched that video, Nicole McGuire's Celebration of Life, because people watch it because where is God when things go really bad? I ended up with half my company owned by a joint venture company. My family sold out, and I found out the next morning they're going to throw me out of my business. They're going to throw me out of my business. I had three board members. They had three boards. They had an independent board member. We had an independent board member, and they bought them off. Now they have four votes. I'm history the next day. I'm 65 years old, and I'm going to lose my 100-year-old family business, my dad's, my granddad's business. I've lost my reputation. I've lost my income. I've lost my testimony. Barry's always talking about God. Well, where's God now? So I'm trash, and there's nothing I can do. I'm powerless. And that night, I prayed the shortest prayer I've ever prayed, and I said, "God, I asked you for nothing." Now I went immediately to sleep. I slept soundly all night. I got up fresh the next morning and went into my attorney's office where we were taking the conference call, and with 8 minutes, God embarrassed my joint venture partner, totally reversed. I said, "I could have paced the floor all night, but where are you, God, when I need you? What am I going to do?" And for nothing. I got to tell you, folks, worry is overrated. That ignites your life.
Barry, how can we get the book?
You know, you can go just about anywhere. Amazon's probably the best, but Barnes & Noble has, Walmart has, most places where you go. It's also available in audiobook form.
Just found out you're going to be in town in May, so we will get together, the four of us, Claudia, Karen,
yeah.
yourself, and I. We'll break bread together, have a great time, and rehash
yeah.
some
oh, man.
Terrific memories.
I can't wait.
And I'll bring my Stutz Blackhawk, show you. I think I didn't have that the last time we
For
had.
Sure. Got to pick us up from our hotel.
That's
make,
right.
us, make us feel important.
Barry, thank you for joining us, my friend.
Thank you. God bless you, Rodney. Great friend.
Barry McGuire has been our guest. The new book is out now. It's called Ignite Your Life, Defeat Fear with Effortless Faith. And I'm proud that he's my friend, and I'm proud that he considers me his. And there's more to come with Ron Sedgie today.
At St. Jude, researchers are working around the clock to find new ways to combat the deadliest childhood cancers. This is a St. Jude moment.
My name is Joel, and I was diagnosed with osteosarcoma, which is bone cancer, and I came to St. Jude as a 7-year-old because doctors had discovered a tumor in my right shoulder. St. Jude was amazing early on. You know, even as a 7-year-old, they found a way to explain it to me, to have other people talk to me, that by the time I walked out of here 7 months after the amputation, I was fully adjusted to using my left arm, you know, so I could jump right back into school and have no qualms or no worries about that at all. So I'm lucky enough to be married to Lindsay, who is also another former St. Jude patient who I actually met at a St. Jude event. She was in the middle of her treatment. I had finished mine just a couple of years before and just told her I loved her. Luckily, she reciprocated, told me the same thing back, and we were fortunate enough to get married on the St. Jude campus.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Very anxious to talk to our next guest, Grace Gold. Hi, Grace. How are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm great, Ron. Thanks so much for having me.
You know, you hear so much about laser hair removal. I have never really totally understood it. Tell us a little bit about it and how it works and what you can expect when you have it done.
Sure. Well, today I'm actually joining you from Milan Laser Hair Removal. They are the largest laser hair removal company in the country. They've got over 260 clinics nationwide. Most of their clients are 95% hair-free in 7 to 10 treatments. So when laser hair removal is done correctly, results are actually permanent. Many people see a difference after the very first treatment. I can tell you I did personally. They have exclusive unlimited packages. So each body area you purchase, they guarantee you results for life. Down the road, you want to get a touch-up. This is very common with laser hair removal. You're not going to pay any fees with Milan Laser. So everything's included. You definitely want to look for that. But a lot of people are very surprised to learn that the results are permanent.
Are there some people that can't have it done because of sensitive skin, or is it pretty much open to everyone?
Laser hair removal, it's for everyone. But you want to keep in mind, not all lasers are created equal. So there's technology used at Milan Laser in the Candela Gentle Max Pro. So the issue used to be, a long time ago, only light skin could do laser hair removal. Now this laser, it has two laser technologies. So the Alexandrite is for lighter skin tones, but then they also have the ND Yag for brown skin tones, which works really great. I actually have deeper skin tone myself. The lasers now, they've got like built-in comfort features. So there's a cooling mist. You feel comfortable when you're getting the treatment. Everybody can get results today, but you just want to make sure you're going to someone who is good.
Is there any body part that has skin that is sensitive to that kind of thing?
So the women especially love the underarms, the legs, the bikini area. But, you know, guys are really interested in getting the back done. We also see the neck area in guys, like the back of the neck, where even if you shave and it grows back so quickly.
Does that apply to men with beards?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
So hair on the face can definitely be done. These are very popular areas because shaving these areas often gives you razor burn.
Such a pain in the neck to shave.
Laser hair removal is non-surgical. So this is in and out, but you'll only want highly trained professionals administering treatment. Mm-hmm. So what I love at Milan Laser, they only have medical pros here. So an RN or an LPN will perform your laser hair removal. Also, medical doctors oversee all providers.
How long are those appointments?
You're in and out. It takes just, it's a few zaps. I mean, really just a few minutes.
Is it pretty reasonable?
Keep in mind, it is more cost effective over time than shaving or waxing, but it is an investment. They're doing 50% off. That's 50 at Milan Laser Hair Removal. And if you mention me, Grace Gold, they're going to give you an additional $250 off.
And imagine if I gave this to my wife. Come here, Harry. I got some news for you. I got good news. Where can we go, Grace, for more information on this?
Go to MilanLaser.com. Again, they are doing that 50% off this month only. And then mention my name, Grace Gold. You'll get an additional $250 off.
And our guest has been Grace Gold, beauty and wellness journalist, talking about one of the latest and fastest growing beauty trends out there today, and that's laser hair removal. Grace, I know that radio, television, print is no stranger to you, so come back anytime. We'll have a good time as we did this time.
Thanks so much, Ron.
Okay, thank you so much. February is Healthy Heart Month. And joining us right now is a cardiothoracic surgeon, a professor. He's a decorated Army veteran and author of the book Heart Attack, Truth, Tragedy, and Triumph. He even has his own podcast, Hanging with Dr. Cooper. He's been published in over 100 journals. Joining us right now is Dr. William Cooper. Hello, Doctor. How are you? And welcome to the show.
Hello, Ron. Thank you for having me.
As I mentioned in the introduction, this is so important, and there are a lot of misconceptions about heart health. But I have a statistic in front of me that's very frightening. By the year 2030, nearly 23.6 million people will die from a heart attack or heart disease. And in the next 3 minutes, before we finish this interview, three people in the United States will have a heart attack. What can we do to prevent this? They tell us, watch what we eat, take a certain kind of medicine. Is that a cure-all?
So, you know, one of the things is, first of all, it's a misconception that heart disease just affects older men, smoke and overweight, or obese, diabetic, may drink too much. Yeah, that's true. But the fact of the matter is, heart disease and the way we should be thinking about it can affect. And it's important to think about it that way because the steps you need to take, you need to start early in life. I've operated on thousands of people, Ron, in my life. Many of those have been as young as 27 years old, believe it or not, doing bypass surgery. That's the message, is to get going earlier rather than later. And that's why we're here today.
Doctor, I'm probably living proof of someone who took the heat early in life. In my late 30s, my cholesterol was sky high. And as a result of that, I started eating the salads and the no red meat and so on and so forth. It had come down to under 200. But my father passed away at 55 years old with a massive heart attack. 3 days before he had that heart attack, he had an EKG that said, hey, you're fine, just lose some weight. An EKG really doesn't show if heart attack is coming. It basically tells you if you had one. Am I incorrect in that, doctor?
You're absolutely correct. So let's talk about the diet. So healthy lifestyles lead to healthy hearts. Absolutely right. So you deciding at a young age to incorporate a healthy eating habit was very, very important. But remember now, diets can be very foreboding for some people. And people look at it as very difficult. It's been so commercialized. I love peanuts. Peanuts and peanut butter have been shown part of a healthy diet to lower your blood pressure, lower your risk of cardiovascular disease and diabetes. The southern peanut growers know that. You can add this or add peanuts to a heart-healthy diet. Why can you do that? Because they have mostly unsaturated fats. Much easier for your body to break that down and metabolize it. They have heart-healthy nutrients like fiber, protein of the highest content of any nut out there. So add some fresh fruit to your PB&J on whole grain bread. Add some nuts to your salad. Add a little nuts to your stir fry, okay, or your pasta. Now, let's talk about this testing. EKGs are only as good as what's happening instantaneously. Because remember, an EKG is only measuring the electrical activity that's going through your heart at any given moment. And so not unusual for that scenario to bear itself out where you had one the day before or 3 days before and a heart attack 2 or 3 days later.
There's been a lot of controversy and pros and cons to the baby aspirin. Suddenly they say, hey, you know, this could be dangerous. What's the decision on that?
A lot of conflicting information. If you are in a high-risk category or you've had a heart attack, you're in a high-risk category because your father had a heart attack at 55, by the way. I would say, and your blood pressure is under fairly general good control, then a baby aspirin a day, A, may not prevent totally, but it certainly probably won't hurt you either. Critically important to get moving. We've got help from our sponsors here, Planet Fitness. They're helping people, giving them access to their PF app this month free with all these workouts on there that are cardio, yoga, toning, stretching, all designed to benefit your heart.
You know, there's a lot of symptoms to heart attacks,
yeah.
And they're very confusing. I mean, heartburn, hiatal hernia, gallbladder pain. You know, a lot of people say the left arm, pressure on the chest, shin pain. Those are all things that you might be able to put off, but it probably is not a good idea if you get it. TipsOnTV.com is where to go. Also, by the way, you can get the doctor's book, which is entitled Heart Attack, Truth, Tragedy, and Triumph. Our guest has been Dr. William Cooper. Doctor, thank you for joining us.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ron.
Thank you, Doctor. February is National Heart Month. In the beginning of this interview, three people in the United States will have a heart attack, which means in the last 9 minutes, three people have had heart attacks. That is frightening. There's more to come with Ron Sedgie today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
$5 a month or more on gas and electric bills? Did you know by making a simple free phone call, you can save up to 25% on your bill every month? What could you do with a 25% savings on utility bills every month? Energy deregulation is now available in your state. Making one simple phone call will show you how we can lower your gas and electric bills instantly with no changes to your bill and no enrollment fee. This is a free service. The only thing you'll notice is a lower bill every month. Call U.S. Power and Light right now. Learn how easy it is to lower your utility bills for your business and save money. We promise. So if you spend over $500 a month on your gas and electric bills, please call right now and unleash your savings. 800-941-3381. 800-941-3381.
Thank you, our guests, for being part of the past 2 hours. Our guests include Ice-T, actress Kyler Lee, the Long Island medium Teresa Caputo, from the Monkees, Mickey Dolenz, Doris Kearns Goodwin, residential historian, from McGuire Car Care Products, with a brand new book called Ignite Your Life, Barry McGuire, and also Grace Gold and Dr. William Cooper. Well, we'll be looking for your company come next week when we're going to do it again live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Segi Today. And until then, I'm Ron Segi, hoping that you have blue skies and green lights.